بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أصابكم يوم التقى الجمعان فبإذن الله وليعلم المؤمنين وليعلم الذين نافقوا. صدق الله العظيم. Last week we commenced and we started discussing this particular verse in Surah Ali Imran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the events that transpired and occurred during the Battle of Uhud. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum temporarily suffered some defeat and difficulty because of, as Sayyidina Hassan al-Basri and Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab in the commentary of this verse explained, the difficulty that they had to undergo and face and endure was due to them disobeying the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and arguing about whether they should remain on their post or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then informs the mu'mineen and all of us in the next verse, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانُ. Whatever difficulty befell you on the day these two armies met, the day of Uhud, the Battle of Uhud, فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, it happened with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the decree of Allah. وَلِيَعْلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا. And through these difficulties which the Muslims had to face in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and keeping in mind that they were on haq, supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a lesson that sometimes a person as a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also be tested. It is not just that a person who is disobedient and he lives a life far away from the teachings of Sharia, that person will be punished and go through difficulty. Difficulty is not necessarily a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهُ وَلِيَعْلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah tested the Sahaba to make apparent and manifest to mankind till the day of Qiyamah who were the true believers, that they supported Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they suffered some difficulty, yet they turned their attention to Allah, and if there was a mistake, they rectified the mistake. وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا. And through this battle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed the munafiqeen. The munafiqeen, who was a group of hypocrites led by an individual who was the chief of Medina before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated. His name was Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul. He was about to be coronated and appointed as the king and the chief of Medina, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated and came to Medina. And obviously when the sun rises, the stars disappear. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Medina Munawwara, there was no twinkling of any star of Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul. And therefore, he harbored in his heart enmity towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and every opportunity he found, he plotted and schemed and tried to instigate fitna and opposition to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam consulted with the Sahaba, he said that the Quraysh are coming towards Medina. What should we do? Many of the Sahaba felt that they should stay in Medina and then defend Medina from within the limits of Medina. And this was the view of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul as well, and many of the other Sahaba. The youngsters who did not participate in the expedition of Badr the previous year, they said, "Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let this be an opportunity for us to demonstrate our steadfastness and our fortitude in defending the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not oppressing anyone. These people are coming to attack us. So let us demonstrate our will and desire to defend Islam." And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then acknowledged and accepted their view. And this is what we discussed in the previous verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although he's receiving revelation and wahi, to consult with his companions. And this is a lesson for us in our homes as well. If we need to make a decision, then rather as the father figure or the amir of the family, just to instruct everybody to do something. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to consult and ask. Ask the children, ask the wife, ask the family members, what do you think we should do? Even if it is to purchase a car, what do you think? In this day is barakah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person who develops the habit of shura and consultation, he will never regret the decision that he makes. And the person who makes istikhara means that he seeks for good in a decision which or something which he wishes to undertake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will eventually allow him to see the khair of the decision that he makes. So with it, it's not only for marriage. Sometimes people think, okay, istikhara, okay, so now how do you make istikhara? Because should I get married to the girl or not? Is that only for marriage? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us the istikhara, the way he taught us the verse of the Quran. In other words, in everything you need to do, even if you've made up your mind and you've decided what you're going to do. So there is a job opportunity. And now you're thinking, hey, I'm not sure, because obviously the ghaib and the unseen is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet it is sunnah, make istikhara. You're saying, oh Allah, if there is khayr and benefit for my deen as a Muslim and my dunya, for my livelihood, for my rizq, if there is khayr and good in it for me, then allow it to materialize. And if not, then turn me away from it, turn it away from me, and give me something better than that. And only Allah knows what is better for us. So even if a person has made a determination that I'm going for this job, but the barakah of that dua, if there is some harm, even if it would be that somebody would take advantage of him, or eventually it would result in some, he would be retrenched, but he doesn't know that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevents it even before he takes the job, or before he undertakes that particular task. He doesn't see the khair in it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is alimul ghaib wa shahada, Allah knows the ghaib and the unseen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects an individual through the barakah of istikhara. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then decided to leave the city of Medina itself and go towards Uhud, where the battle took place. And Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, he said, you see, he's not listening to my opinion. And this is another thing. When we have consultation and we're trying to figure out what is the best way forward, whether it be in the affairs of our masjid, whether it be in the affairs of our community, in our homes, in our family matters, then we take the opinions, but it should be an opinion. It shouldn't be like Donald Trump signing off as a, you know, this is what's that word they said?
Executive
order. So it shouldn't be an executive order. It should be the uniting of the hearts. Every person feels that he's put forward something and there'll be barakah in it. This is why the example of our shura and our consulting in our families and our meetings resembles that of bees. In Surah Al-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives in great detail the description of the beauty of the bee and the perfection with which they function. So the ulama say that they collectively prepare something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls a shifa for the sicknesses of a human being. So all the input of each bee, which when he goes and he makes his contribution, the end result of that is something which is beneficial. This is how consultation works. Every brother says, now sometimes when you have a meeting and a brother puts his hand up and he says, you know, I think, okay, we should do this. You say, what prat you know? As you know, dom. Now we speak to people like that, whereas we might not understand or agree with his opinion. But there might be khair hidden in that opinion. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina was in danger. He asked the Sahaba, what should we do? They said, let's go out of Medina. Let's stay in Medina. This was besides the Battle of Uhud. Sayyidina Salman al-Farisi from Persia, he said, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a technique that we apply when we are overwhelmed with huge factions that are attacking our cities. And that is, we would dig a trench around our city. So the Sahaba never heard of this before. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed every person to express his view. This was how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam united the hearts of the ummah. That even if it is a young man and he's giving his opinion, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give him a chance. If a young man wanted to express himself, he wouldn't be told, hey, don't talk now. You are likely, this is not a place that the big people are talking. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he was given a bowl of milk. So he took a sip. On his right hand side was a young boy. On his left-hand side was his most senior advisor, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, his companion, and Sayyidina Umar. So now, the sunnah, he taught us that you pass the utensil to the right-hand side. So he took a sip, and then he looked at the boy, and he said, oh young boy, would you allow me to give it to Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah. So he tells Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi of Allah, because of my love for you, I cannot give preference to anyone else over that which I'm getting from you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave it to him. He didn't say, no, you don't have respect for your elders. He allowed interaction even with the youth. And this is something which we learn from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul has already upset that these people didn't listen to my opinion. They didn't have any value or appreciation for what I had to say. So when the Sahaba went out to Uhud, him and 300 or 400 of his men went back to Medina. They said, we don't have time to join you. And they left Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. His hypocrisy was open and manifest. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, through this difficulty, although the Sahaba suffered, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle was martyred, and many Sahaba radiallahu anhum passed away. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also made apparent now who were the true believers and who were the munafiqeen. A munafiq is a person who doesn't have iman in his heart, but he displays the actions of a Muslim. Now, a very important point I would like to mention here, and that is many times on our tongues, when we have disputes, or there's an argument, or there's some confusion in a community, or in a masjid, or in a committee, then you'll find people say, yeah, he's a munafiq man. And we all have heard this type of statement before. It's not permissible to use that word. Because in the terminology of Quran, a munafiq is somebody who's not a Muslim. In reality, he's not, he doesn't have iman. He's just pretending to be a believer, but in his heart he's got kufr. Yes, perhaps the word hypocrite in English could be more encompassing, and it could not necessarily be restricted to belief in something or not believing in something. It could mean a person is displaying something which he doesn't really mean. Perhaps in English there would be that allowance in the usage of the word hypocrite. But the word munafiq, to call a Muslim a munafiq, is not permissible. You cannot just say, hey, you are munafiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The munafiqeen will be in the lowest pit of the fire of Jahannam. So are we saying that we wish a person goes to Jahannam? Are we saying that we want our Muslim brother to go to Jahannam? This mentality of wanting people, you know, everybody is deviant and everybody is kafir and everybody is doing... This is the problem which the ummah is facing, through people who have extreme views of Sharia. They don't understand the terminology and the explanations given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we don't just, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that person who calls his Muslim brother, he says to him, O kafir, that you are kafir. فَقَدْ بَاءَ بِهَا أَحَدُهُمَا. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, listen how serious and severe this warning is. He said, one of the two of them will return as a kafir, being out of the fold of Islam. Because if he is a kafir, in reality he did something which took him out of the fold of Islam, then your statement was justified. But if not, then that statement now rebounds and applies to you, and you are out of the fold of Islam. Because calling a Muslim a kafir, calling Islam kufr, is itself disbelief. So it's not a joke to call people, this one is a kafir, and yeah, he's a munafiq. We don't talk like that. Many times people don't understand the seriousness of this statement. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the munafiqeen who deserted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And their nifaq and hypocrisy was mentioned and identified through revelation. So Jibreel alayhi salam informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this person is a munafiq. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul is a munafiq. This one is a munafiq. And wahi doesn't come to any one of us. None of us receives revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what right does any person have to judge another person and say that he is a munafiq? This is something which we should keep in mind, inshaAllah. May Allah protect us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite the hearts of the ummah and allow us to use words which unite the hearts. If you look in the books of hadith, towards the end of many of the books of hadith, there are chapters known as manaqib. Manaqib means the accolades and the titles and the achievements of the Sahaba. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, this is what he did. Sayyidina Umar, this is what he did. Uthman, this is what he did. Ali radiallahu anhu, this is what he did. Talha, Zubayr, all the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the senior amongst them. Aisha, Fatima, Sumayya, Ruqayya, Safiya, all of them, they are chapters about the achievements and the good that they accomplished. Now, this is a book of hadith, which means that the good and the status which is being highlighted in these chapters has been narrated or uttered, articulated by who? By Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While they're alive, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that when you're interacting with people, then if there is a good quality in an individual, then highlight that good quality and tell people about it. We can't see somebody, and unfortunately, if somebody's got has achieved something, he's got a good job, alhamdulillah, or maybe he's got a good post, or he's got a good car, or he's got a good house, or he's just settling down nicely. It, some people's heart is uneasy. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when we say that the 10 sahaba who were the 10 mubashirin bil jannah, the 10 who were given the glad tidings of jannah, he said Abu Bakr fil jannah, Umar fil jannah, Uthman fil jannah, Ali fil, this is how he's saying. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if somebody told him something, he says, I believe what you are saying, and Abu Bakr and Umar will also believe. In other words, he testifies that they will always support his view. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he was sitting with his beloved wife Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, and they were looking at the stars, which is also a sunnah to spend time with your wife. Nowadays the wife is sitting next to you and you're checking the phone. So this is why a few weeks ago when I spoke in Jumu'ah, I said we should, inshallah, all of us, and I this myself as well, we should try to ensure that we sleep in places which is free from any devices. There must be no device in our sleeping quarters. Mustn't be a phone or the iPad or the tablet. Nothing must be there. When it's time to sleep, you sleep. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the night a covering. So it is for us to rest. Sakana. It is for us to achieve sukoon and tranquility. To just detach ourselves from the stress of the day. So now you're sitting at night and the wife is busy with her phone, and the husband is busy with his phone, and maybe they're chatting to one another. So to keep ourselves occupied in some good. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with Aisha radiallahu anha. So they looked at the stars. She said, "O Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is there anyone in your ummah who perhaps has good deeds equivalent to the amount of stars in the sky?" So he said, "Yes." So she said, "Who is that?" He said, "Umar ibn al-Khattab." Now Umar ibn al-Khattab is the close friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam after Sayyidina Abu Bakr. But she is the daughter of Abu Bakr, so she was expecting a father's name. So she said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, what about Abu Bakr?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "One day and one night of Abu Bakr is equal to all the stars of Umar. All the thawab of Umar is only equal to one day and one night of Abu Bakr." Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, "I'm prepared to give the thawab of my whole life just in exchange for the night of hijrah that Abu Bakr spent with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the cave, and that sacrifice he gave in supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "In my whole life, whoever did any favor unto me, I've repaid and returned that favor, except Abu Bakr. Allah has kept his reward in the akhirah." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this hadith, he said that on the day of Qiyamah, people will want to choose a door to enter into Jannah, but the doors of Jannah will call Abu Bakr to enter. Each door will call him. You'll have to choose which door he's going to enter into. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Umar ibn al-Khattab, if there had to be a prophet after me, it would be Umar." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There is a sahabi amongst my companions, his own son-in-law, Sayyidina Uthman. He is so bashful and so modest, and he's got so much haya, which is a symbol of iman." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-haya'u shu'batun min al-iman." To be modest and to have good character and to be humble, this is a sign of a person's iman. And this is my ummah. There's a person who's so modest and so respectful that the malaika are modest in front of him, and that is Uthman. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I am the city of knowledge, and the door to that city is Ali. Ana madinatul ilm wa aliyun babuha. So the sahaba radiallahu anhum, their qualities and their status was informed to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a lesson for each and every one of us. And this is what unites the hearts of the ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all these actions, they might seem to be small. And we think, okay, we are practicing on it. But if we are cognizant and we are aware of why we are doing it, inshallah, then the benefit and the hikmah and wisdom behind this amal will also benefit us, inshallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that make salam, afshu salama baynakum. If you make salam a common practice amongst you, it unites the hearts. If you state in the sufuf correctly in salah, it unites the hearts. And if we find a good quality in someone, and we say, we meet someone, we say, "MashaAllah, this brother, he's got this very good quality." Inshallah, even if you didn't intend to benefit from him, because that's another thing. Sometimes people praise because they want to benefit. They say, Masha, what a pious man, but he's about to propose to the man's daughter, so now he has to say the man is pious. So there shouldn't be ulterior motive. But you utter and articulate the good qualities of individuals, this will be a sign of something good which is in you. Because a person who has good in him, this is what he sees in others. In Arabic they say, كُلُّ إِنَاءٍ بِالَّذِي فِيهِ يَنْضَحُ. Every utensil can only throw out what it has within it. So if there is love and respect and there is appreciation in the heart of an individual, then anybody he looks at, he will look at with that eye. Whether it be Muslim or non-Muslim, if he meets any person, he will know that I need to respect this person. One day there was a scholar, somebody was disrespectful to him and said to him, hey, who was better, you or a dog? Is a dog better or are you better? So he said, I can't answer you now. So after some time, somebody came to this man and he said that I am the son of such and such a person, my father, and he had passed away, but before he passed away, he recited the kalima. He said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. And then he called me, he said, my son, go to such and such a person and tell him that today I can say that I'm better than a dog because I'm reciting the kalima and I'm dying. At that time I couldn't say, because if I die without iman, then the dog is better, because the dog will perish on the day of qiyamah. It's not going to go to Jahannam. Animals will not go to Jahannam. So if I had to die without iman, then the dog would have been better than me. But I didn't know how I'm going to finish. But now, at the time of death, I'm telling you that alhamdulillah, tell him I'm better than the dog because I'm reciting the shahada. So respect, good character, and this is what the ummah needs. The ummah has been broken up into too many groups now. If somebody does something, if we can't say something good, at least let us protect people from the harm of our tongues and our hands. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Muslimu, a true Muslim, Man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. He is that individual that the rest of mankind, Muslim, in another hadith, one hadith says that the Muslimin are saved from the harms of his hand and his tongue, and another hadith says that mankind in general are saved from the harm of his tongue and his hands. We don't say things to hurt people. We don't do things to hurt people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never in his life beat anybody. He never harmed his spouse. He never hit a child. Rasulullah, the person came to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said in a gathering, now imagine if somebody comes to a sheikh or imam and he asks this question, he says, please, O Nabi of Allah, give me permission to make zina. Oh, imagine. Not he says, okay, just find a loophole for me to know so I can use haram or insurance. Or, he says, give me permission to commit zina. And he's saying to the Rasul of Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't you know who you're talking to? You're sitting in Masjid Nabawi, Abu Bakr, Umar. The Sahaba freaked out. They said, what type of question is this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, come closer. Now if it was an imam and he said, come closer, then we know that they'll have to change the tonka. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you have a mother? He says, yes. He says, what if somebody would want to commit zina with your mother? He says, oh, no, Allah, that I can't. I'm talking of my own weakness. So he said, and you have a sister? He says, yes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam engaged him and made him think. Apply your mind. Think about the reality and the gravity of what you are saying. So he said, if somebody wants to commit zina with your sister, he said, A'udhu billah, I would never allow it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the lady that perhaps you have an intention to do this act with, she's also somebody's daughter, somebody's sister, perhaps somebody's mother. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him close and placed his blessed hand on his chest and made dua for him. And he said, wallahi, from that moment, the desire of zina was removed from my heart. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed how through compassion, through his akhlaq, through his character, through making dua. Number one, we don't speak properly to people. If somebody asks us a question, we respond respectfully, appropriately, and according to his level of understanding. If a person presents an academic question, you can't give him a simple answer. You need to, if you want to defeat somebody in a game of chess, you can't play draughts. You have to play the same game. So somebody is on a high level of understanding, you need to engage in that particular level with the language required on that particular level. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then concluded his engagement with dua and turning to Allah. And this is what won the hearts of people. More than lectures. You see in the books of hadith, the lectures of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, very long. Khutbah was very short. The salah was longer on Jumu'ah. But every statement, it encompasses many aspects of life. And more than that was the character that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam displayed, which won the hearts of the people of his time, and even after his time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may He give us the tawfiq and understand the importance of protecting our iman, and may He protect us from nifaq and hypocrisy, and give us the ability to protect our hands and tongues from being used to harm any human being. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. We'll recite the Quran for a few minutes, inshallah.